caution. Avalanche accidents in the backcountry of the Sierra kill one or two people almost every season. Years ago, the U.S. Forest Service funded avalanche centers where trained forecasters warned about the dangers and taught outdoor safety. But after federal budget cuts in the 1990s, that job fell to a dedicated group of volunteers. Reporter Carolyn Crane has more on how their work is helping prevent deaths and injury in some of the state's most rugged winter terrain.
It's a frigid morning, and the snow-dusted trees on a remote mountainside outside of Truckee are right out of a postcard. But avalanche forecaster Brandon Schwartz has more on his mind than admiring the view here at 8,000 feet as he digs a spade into the icy drifts. Schwartz is the avalanche forecaster for Truckee's Sierra Avalanche Center, and on this day, he's digging a snow pit. It's one of dozens of strategies forecasters use to advise the public of avalanche dangers.
What I'm more interested in looking at the snowpack today is for changes over time, because snow crystals on the ground are always changing.
Schwartz uses the snow pit to analyze the layers of the snow and determine the snowpack stability. Using a shovel to tap the snow, Schwartz conducts a compression test, one of several tests he uses in the 4x4 foot pit he has dug.
So what we've got here is that 29 taps, 29 of 30 on the scale for the shovel compression test. We've had this uppermost crust in the snowpack fail. And that's very hard failure. It's one tap away from being considered no failure at all.
Forecasting is only part of Schwartz's job. After carefully filling in the snow pit, he turns his attention to training a backcountry traveler on the use of an avalanche transceiver, a transmitter and receiver all in one. Avalanche experts say every backcountry traveler should carry and know how to use one of these beacons.
Go straight ahead, and we are getting down to 37 feet now.
Schwartz and the backcountry traveler practice a search and rescue using the beacon they've buried in the snow. Once they've honed in on a 6x6 foot search area, Schwartz coaches his student on how to probe for an avalanche victim with a long collapsible pole.
That's a crust. Don't you? You're looking for something like a person, kind of soft and squishy.
It takes the backcountry traveler nearly 15 minutes to find the transceiver hidden in a backpack. According to Schwartz, that's more time than a person could survive buried in snow. The device, he says, only increases chances of survival by 19%.
It's maybe something that, in the right lucky set of circumstances, allows someone to survive.
19% was enough for one of three professional ski patrollers caught in a backcountry avalanche this month near Bridgeport, about an hour from the Mammoth Lakes ski resort. The skier was buried head to foot in snow, but a partner who managed to hold on to a tree during the avalanche was able to follow the sound of his partner's beacon and rescue him in just 4 minutes. A third companion, who also carried a beacon, died in the February 1st avalanche. Another avalanche tragedy that claimed the lives of two people in the Eastern Sierras last year served as a catalyst for a small group to form the Eastern Sierra Avalanche Center in Mammoth Lakes. Nate Greenberg helped start the group. He says that community members stepped up when the Forest Service bowed out.
The budget cuts kind of hit this forest really, really hard, and there was essentially a number of positions that were cut.
Sue Burak, the forecaster for the Mammoth area, is grateful for the support the Forest Service is able to provide.
They gave me office space, computer, high-speed computer, phone lines, use of a vehicle, use of a snowmobile. And, you know, that kind of stuff really adds up.
But despite some success with these centers, there is concern that without more government support, they won't be able to continue to educate the public and offer forecasts. Forecaster Brandon Schwartz of the Truckee Center says volunteers aren't enough.
I think that in reality, it will need to be a mix of public and private monies, but I think a good start would be some government funding.
Nate Greenberg agrees. He says grassroots fundraising is not enough to bring in the $40,000 needed annually.
And we're beginning to realize that the nonprofit model really isn't very productive in being able to do that. We just can't raise enough money. The population base here is pretty small, and it's very difficult to support a high-budget operation with just a small number of people being involved.
For now, though, it seems unlikely that the federal government will put any more money toward the avalanche centers. Bob Moore is the winter sports specialist for the Truckee Ranger District in the Tahoe National Forest.
At this point, I don't see the Forest Service providing extra funding. What the Forest Service is providing is the infrastructure to do the job, the contacts, ability to get around, and the Forest Service assumes all liability for the product that's produced.
The product, frequent avalanche forecasts, is used by hundreds of backcountry travelers each week. Recent trends show that each year more Californians are heading to remote areas of the Sierra Nevada mountains for skiing and snowmobiling. Many of them are not adequately trained, and their safety is an increasing concern. For the California Report, I'm Carolyn Crane.